I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey, everybody. Great to have you with us. Thanks for joining. This week, we are talking all things church, leadership, and local missions with Pastor Jake Sweetman, Cathedral Church.
Hello.
C3 Church. And yes. Great to have you with us, Jake.
So good to be here. Stoked to do this podcast with you, Pastor Phil. And hello to everybody, to all the C3 family. Hope you guys are all doing exceptionally well.
Yeah. Well, man, your church got really involved recently in the LA fire relief. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So on January 8th, I believe it was, some really destructive fires begin to break out across Los Angeles, starting in Pacific Palisades. Extremely high winds that made the threat of fire even more dangerous. And beginning with that one in the Palisades, that then quickly became 3, 4, 5 fires burning across Los Angeles. It really did feel like the entire city was on fire. Honestly, that's what it felt like. We had one near us. And when I say us, I mean both my family and I where we live, but also close by one of our church locations that was called the Eaton Fire. That was just absolutely devastating to an entire city, an entire community of people. Thousands and thousands of homes burned down. And it was the kind of thing where it felt like disaster had come to your very door. I mean, my son's basketball coach, his family has generational homes in that area that was close by our church. And they lost, I believe it was 12 homes burned down personally in their family as a result of that fire. And so in the midst of that catastrophe, we actually fled our house on the morning that fire was breaking out near us, because I got up at about 5 a.m. that morning, walked outside, could see the fire there on the hill. Now, thankfully, our home is fine. Our neighborhood is fine. It's a little bit like one of those things, kind of like the, you know, your side view mirror in your car. Objects may appear closer than they really are. It looks closer than it is, but it was certainly scary. So we ended up evacuating. And then just in the middle of that day, got together on a Zoom call with 3 or 4 of our team just to try to discuss how we could respond. And what began as a conversation about gift cards, gas, groceries, Airbnb gift cards, things like that for people who are displaced, quickly turned into a planning meeting for how we could potentially receive an entire semi-truck worth of supplies to be able to distribute. And we were kind of in the running to receive that. And this supplier ended up choosing us as a church, which we felt so blessed to be able to do. And we were able to distribute within 72 hours. We mobilized over 400 volunteers from several different churches actually around the city. So this was just not a story of our church, but really the church of Los Angeles. So many hands getting involved, supplying volunteers, people working round the clock. Friday, Saturday comes around, and we have over 1,000 families come through to get served, people who've been displaced by these fires, to get necessary supplies, to receive prayer, and saw all kinds of little amazing moments happen throughout the day, even beyond just the supplies themselves. So pretty remarkable. And then on top of that as well, lots of financial support that has made such a difference in people's lives that I'm sure we can talk about as well. So that's the 30,000 foot view.
Okay, so that's amazing. And it's a good template for other churches to think about when they've got a tragedy or a disaster or some climate event or whatever happening yes. nearby, to simply say, hey, we're here in the community to actually be Jesus' hands
yes.
and help these people. I mean, I think you were talking about one family was living in a car and they were their house had burned down.
Yeah, we have one family that was displaced that came through. And they were living in their car because they had nowhere else to go. So we were able to stock them up with the stuff that they needed. But our team, and this just, I think, speaks to the spirit of Christ generosity that's present in the believer. Our team, just a few of our team members of their own volition, noticed that the tires on this family's car were very bald. And so they took the family around the corner to the tire shop and just use some of the budget that we had to put four brand new tires on this family's car. It was just such a meaningful thing to them to experience such. There's hospitality that you expect in those moments, but then there's unexpected hospitality as well. And I think that that's what really touches people and shows them the love of Christ in those kinds of situations. So that was one of many amazing stories that came out of that day.
I always think it's an awesome thing when you've got some resources that you can actually help people with. And so people who, have trouble with the idea of Christians doing well in life, I think it shortchanges our opportunities to actually help people. I mean, you got support from a number of other C3 churches, I understand.
A number, yeah. Shout out to C3 in Orange County, C3 in Manhattan, Fount Church in New York City, C3 Atlanta got involved. C3 Leipzig got involved, yeah, over the way over in Europe. Don't ask me what country that's in because I couldn't tell you. So just like truly tremendous, and just all people reaching out of their own volition, which I just think, wow, doesn't that speak to the power of being a part of a global church family that people yeah. rallied around us as we were trying to rally around our city? So pretty outstanding. Yeah. I mean, just to share one story, that those dollars made such significant difference. I mean, dozens of gift cards supplied, gas, groceries, Airbnb gift cards for people to have places to stay. We had one family that we were able to support that whose house got burned down. They had to move into a new place. We were able to provide them with $3,000 to pay for their rental deposit, their first month's rent, as well, moving into their new temporary housing. We actually had a family in our church whose house was burned down completely. Really moving story. An amazing man in our church who just a few years ago actually tragically lost his wife to cancer. And he's single dad raising his two daughters, and their family home burned down. There's a lot of layers to that. Obviously, the memories of the mom, the wife that are attached to that home. But God's looked after them. They were able to purchase a new home quite quickly, and we were able to come in financially and supply them because of the generosity of people in our church and all these other churches around us, C3 and other churches as well. We were able to supply them with $20,000 to refurnish their home and to get settled in. So really, really impactful for them.
Fantastic. Yeah. So you said you got 400 volunteers, and they would have come from other churches as well?
Exactly, yeah. So
what were some of those churches?
Oceans Church down in Orange County, shout out to them. They were really, really helpful.
It's Pastor Mark Francy, right?
Pastor Mark Francy, yeah, incredible man of God. Some other local churches immediately around us, some church plants as well. Shout out to Steadfast Church in Pasadena, jumping in, getting involved. And then I want to say one or two others from the Orange County area from memory. It's a bit of a blur, to be honest with you. And then, of course, lots of volunteers from our own church. So the way that all happened, like on a Wednesday, we were talking about how can we, raise some money and support some of these people who are affected. And then within 72 hours, we had a semi-truck worth of supplies and 400 mobilized volunteers ready to spend all day Friday, Saturday serving these people. So it's pretty outstanding.
It is amazing. And I love it for churches when congregations get involved in this. They really feel like this is something they can do locally
yes.
because sometimes we we kind of send money off to missions that are overseas in foreign countries that are definitely in need and disadvantaged. But we should never do that, I think, at the expense of local mission, when we can actually touch lives right around us and help people and for our own people in our own congregations. This can be extremely meaningful for their Christianity.
Absolutely.
Their own, they've finally found something that they can do besides just go to church.
That's exactly right. I could see God's hand in the whole thing in terms of how it relates to our local church. We have several goals for 2025, one of which is we really wanted to establish a strong missional arm as a church to our local communities right around us. And we had gotten really convicted about that and really settled on that as a goal. And then the fires break out, and that just gave, we had a goal for two big events that we wanted to do this year to serve our communities. And so the first event came to us. I mean, we had obviously all we had to do was respond to what was going on. But even in that, it's really undergirded this passion that we have to be missional towards our communities. As a result of that, our outreach director, shout out to Ben Kay and Amanda Snyder, he went around and introduced himself to every local business in Highland Park where our church is. This was such a good excuse just to get connected. Hey, do you have employees, customers who've been affected by this? We'd love to serve them. We'd love to support them. So it's just created a great opportunity for us to build relationship on that end and to set us up. I mean, through this whole ordeal, we've learned that there's actually a shelter home for battered women in our community that we didn't even know about before. And now we're aware of this. Now we're set up to be able to serve these women in need, not just with practical things, but also ultimately with the message of the gospel. So it's moved us further towards our goal of becoming this church. We say that we're a church for the glory of Christ, the beauty of the bride, and the good of the city. And God is really helping us bring that good of the city aspect to life. So,
yeah, fantastic. I remember, I think it was the Prime Minister of Great Britain, Margaret Thatcher, who said, you know, the Good Samaritan couldn't have helped the guy on the side of the road if he didn't have a donkey to carry him on, and then be able to say to the innkeeper, look, whatever it costs,
I got it.
I've got it. Yeah, I'm going to cover that.
Yep.
And what a great goal for any church to be able to be that answer.
Yes.
For the good of the city, as you say.
Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of the time people mistake Christianity as a call to poverty. And that's not the New Testament picture at all. All throughout the New Testament, you have patrons who are able to fund the mission of the gospel in all kinds of ways because they have the means to be able to do that. I think of Barnabas, you know. The church is what it is today because of guys like Barnabas, women like Lydia, who were so generous to the cause of the gospel, that has opened pathways for the gospel to spread. So we need people of means, and we need Christians to flourish, to do well. Yeah. In their careers, in their jobs, so that they can be people who live more than just hand to mouth, but rather so that they can be generous to others.
It's an amazing thing in Korea, South Korea. I had a bit to do with Dr. Cho there, who had, like, for a long time, the largest church in the world, and amazing place. But he didn't start big at all. He started a very small church.
Wow.
And he went, his message as he went around the poor people area where he was trying to start the church, they would, people just living in tents, and he would tell them, his message was, receive Jesus Christ or you will go to hell, and you want to go to heaven, which was very blunt kind of message, but that was kind of how he was preaching.
Yep.
And just a very young minister, early days. And one day he came to a woman, she was missing a lot of teeth and wasn't, you know, was in any kind of fine clothes or anything like that. She just looked a bit haggard. And he preached that to her, and she laughed at him. She said, I'm not going to hell.
I'm already
there.
Exactly.
I'm already there. And That shocked him because she said, I have a husband who comes home and bashes me, and wow. Look at the floor, it's mud, and I very rarely have enough food for
wow
for to live on. And so he went away and he decided that he needed to have a better message for people who were in trouble.
Yep.
And that was the goodness of God is going to help you,
yep.
not just spiritually, but physically.
Yep.
And I think our mission can include that as well. I know that in Uganda, we have a school, an entrepreneurial school, where we're not just giving help to people, but actually helping them learn how to do life and generate funds in their own lives,
which yes.
becomes part of the mission, I think, of the church as well.
I think that goes to what you were saying earlier about looking at your immediate context rather than sending, you know, mission funds abroad, which also is necessary and helpful. But start in your immediate, because that's where you can make such a felt difference and cause yeah. flourishing within your community. Like I think about the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament. Right. So every 49 years, all property gets returned to its original clans. All slaves go free, all debt wiped out. And Jesus says that's the year of the Lord's favor. Right. And it happened on the Day of Atonement. So here comes Jesus in Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to proclaim that Jubilee has taken place. Slaves are going free, debts are being wiped out, and inheritance is being restored. Now, we tend to think about that just in the spiritual sense, but Luke wants to make sure that we think about that physically as well. That's why you have the narrative in Acts of the early church where people are sharing things amongst themselves, they're selling property, they're being generous to one another. Luke is saying, hey, here's what it looks like for the year of Jubilee to be fulfilled in Christ. It looks like Christians being radically generous towards one another and causing each other to flourish, causing each other to prosper. Now, sometimes we can shy away from that picture in Acts because we think that it's a picture of, you know, sharing a common purse and literally not owning anything. But if you really read the text closely, that's not what it's saying. They had homes. That's why they could meet in them. It's not like they were all getting rid of all their stuff. Luke is just saying, hey, here's what Jubilee looks like. It looks like you being radically generous to one another and helping each other get out of poverty-stricken situations so that you can all flourish, you know? So maybe that's a single mom in your church who doesn't have a reliable car to get to work, right? So what does it look like to microfinance that, to get her in a reliable car, not just for the sake of handouts? It's not that. It's, hey, let's set her up, right, to get to work on a regular basis, to start to do well, to start to advance. How can we equip her with tools, skills to help her flourish and do well? If you do that throughout your church, you can build a church of pathfinders. You can build a church of kingdom builders. You don't have to just attract them. You can make them. Wow. What an amazing idea that would be involved in discipleship.
Right. And you know, Jake, we don't always have to wait for a disaster.
A crisis.
Or a tragedy to come to our back door. There's a lot of people living in their own personal trauma and tragedy right now. All around, and it doesn't need a lot of exploration to actually, you know, find people who are doing it tough and mm-hmm. who can really do with a handout and a help, like mm-hmm. to actually help people learn how to generate their own cash flows, etc. Like I was saying before, I know that in Sydney, in our church there, from several churches, it was headed up by Bruce Williams from our Adelaide C3 church down there. And they would go to Fiji once a year and build homes. And a lot of guys from various churches around the country that all go over and build two houses in about 2 weeks with wow. all these carpenters and what have you. And I was blessed to be able to go there and see some of these families that had received these homes. I mean, they were very basic, but I remember seeing a video where the keys were being given to the mother and, you know, a lot of weeping and gratitude. But what a beautiful thing for some of the men in our church and women in our church to be able to apply themselves and their gifting to even go to another place and help community with whatever. Like you say, some people from Orange County in Oceans Church came all the way up to LA there and helped you guys out.
Yeah, stunning.
Yeah, and so in terms of missions, like when you say to bring good things into the city.
Yeah.
What was it? What was the phrase again?
For the glory of Christ, the beauty of the bride, and the good of the city.
The good of the city. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The practical arm of the church is always a very powerful thing. I think we should never underestimate the supernatural power as well.
Absolutely.
I think we can reach out with our hands to these people, but in the midst of that, I think we can combine spiritual impartation.
We absolutely should.
And prayer.
Absolutely.
I think you found some of that happening when you were reaching out to people, right?
Yeah. So when we had those 1,000 families come through, no exaggeration, we prayed over every family. And because amazing. We offered prayer to every family. And lo and behold, they all said yes. So that, you know, there's a lesson in that. And then on top of that, we had street teams go out around the neighborhood and they were just knocking on doors and offering prayer. And if they needed help, we would love to help them in any way that we could. Now, these are people who are, you know, they're outside the boundary lines of the fire. So they're not losing their home, but you just never know. And we actually found in as we just stepped out and knocked on doors, we met several families who were either close friends or related to people who had been displaced, or they were housing somebody who had been displaced. Hmm. And you'd never know about those situations if you didn't go, you know what, the gospel calls us to go. The first time I ever heard somebody say, go is 2/3 of God's name, was from you in our C3 conference in Las Vegas well over a decade ago, maybe 15 years ago. But that always stuck with me, and that's very true. Is to have that sense of go in us that,
right?
Because we have like the one message, the one person who is worth bringing and introducing yes. to everybody. Yes. So
I think that can be a defining difference in the way that you know, we may do outreach. It isn't just putting a bowl of soup in people's hands, which can be good, but it's also saying, look, there's a supernatural experience here for you.
Correct.
To receive Christ. And I think anybody involved in missions must realize that it's not just about doing these practical things, but it's about actually bringing spiritual life mm-hmm. to people so that they really experience God. And that can be the point of pain.
Exactly.
That in the pain that all of us go through at times, that we actually encounter God. And it can be like he's trying to get our attention, because our spiritual and eternal state is going to be far more important than yeah. our temporal state.
I have a little story about that. That was a bit of a revelation that came to me. We were at, we do a Wednesday morning prayer meeting each week. And right in the midst of the fires going on, we were praying one morning, and the prayer was very focused on being evangelistic. And as we were praying, I was reminded of what the scripture says in the Gospels, where Jesus looks at the crowd and it says that he recognizes that they're harassed and helpless. And that's when he says to the disciples, hey, look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And it just connected in my brain. It's like, wow, wherever people are helpless, the harvest is plentiful. There's a connection between helplessness and harvest.
Sure.
And so we actually, in response to that, we threw together a little evangelism training for our church. It ended up happening a little bit later than I would have liked in terms of its proximity to the fires, but still really useful and impactful. Just trying to respond to helplessness and equip people to evangelize. Because
right.
it is in that place of pain where people tend to be more open to the gospel. So
it is. And I've always kind of taken the idea that if a person is resistant to hearing anything about the Lord, and to get into a big argument
doesn't help.
Isn't worth it. Mm-mm. You know, it's just be kind, be nice, because one day there is a day when people will want to reach out to God because they're in a situation that has got pain in it.
Yes.
And so what I do say to people who are a bit challenging to talk to about Christ, and say, look, there may come a day when you really do want to, you know, pray a prayer. This is the prayer you should pray. Lord Jesus, come into my life.
Wow.
It's that simple.
That's amazing.
And if you show people how to do a particular thing in that moment, they'll remember it. Because I remember when I was just 19 when I got converted, when I came to Christ. But before that, I had a very negative experience with like demonic forces. I felt like the devil was in my room in our house. And I remember somebody saying, if you ever feel like the devil's around, just say the name Jesus and make crosses.
Amazing. And
so I did. I'm not sure if it did anything, but the next day I ended up in church and having Jesus come into my life.
Yeah.
But I think everybody, I think God is loves us enough to give us opportunities in difficult moments where we're going to reach out, even if we've been an atheist, even if we've just never really believed in God at all. There's always going to be a moment in everybody's life where we need more than our own strength to overcome whatever we're facing.
Yeah. I'm reminded of the famous Mike Tyson quote, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. And sooner or later, life's going to punch you in the face and your plan doesn't work. And you need Jesus.
That's great. Well, thanks very much, Jake, for sharing with us today.
Absolutely.
And I know your church is vibrant, flourishing, and doing so well. And especially times like this can be such an edifying thing for a congregation to get involved in.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your leadership and your ministry, your faithfulness. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you for yours. It's an honor to be a part of this family. Love you and Pastor Phil and Pastor Chris. You guys are amazing. Shout out to C3, and we'll see y'all soon.
Thanks a lot, Jake. Bye. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.